أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam that he should announce and proclaim to all of mankind that they should come to the Kaaba and perform the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that how people will come in rows and people will come using different means of transportation. There are those who will come walking, there are those who will come riding mounted on animals. And today we know all the different types of transportation are used in order for people to make their way to Baytullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says people will come from every corner of the world. Allah spoke of how they will witness and they will experience benefits for themselves. He spoke of the benefits that they experience, not only spiritual benefits but worldly benefits as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of how people will remember Allah as they are sacrificing animals during the known days, the fixed days, which are the 10th, 11th and 12th of the Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us that we should eat from the meat of the animals that we sacrificed on the day of Eid, and also we should feed the hungry, the poor and the distressed from that meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Haji and those performing Hajj of the other deeds and acts that they must perform. ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَتَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then they must remove tafat. Tafat is everything which collects dirt. They must remove their dirt. This is referring to the unwanted hair, because the Haji does not remove any hair. From the time he puts on ihram, one of the forbidden acts of ihram, one of the things he is not allowed to do during ihram, is to remove any hair from the body and to pare the nails and so on and so forth. We know what are the restrictions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now after they have slaughtered the animal, and this is a sequence that you follow on the 10th of the Hijjah, there is the talking of the Jamarat in Mina. After that is the sacrificing of the animals. And after that is the shaving of the head and the removing of all unwanted hair and the tearing of the nails. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَتَهُمْ. And this is something completely forbidden for the muhrim to do. That is to remove any hair and tear the nails while he is in a state of ihram. And if you are not a muhrim, if you are not in the state of ihram, but you are going to perform qurbani, you are not a haji, you are in your respective country or city or town, and you are going to perform qurbani, then it is mustahab for you from the first of the hijjah, right until you slaughter the animal and you sacrifice the animal, right until that point, it is mustahab for you, it is recommended for you, and you will be rewarded. Do not tear your nails and do not remove any hair. So you resemble the Haji until you slaughter the animal. Once the animal is slaughtered, then you can remove all unwanted hair and tear the nails. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after they have sacrificed these animals, ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَّتَهُمْ, they should remove their dirt. وَلْيُوفُوا نُدُورَهُمْ, and they should fulfill their vows. وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's one more obligatory act that must be performed on that day. So we said it's the talking, it is the sacrificing of the animals, it is the shaving of the hair. And then comes tawafu ziyarah. Tawafu ziyarah, right? The obligatory act of Hajj. One of the main fundamental aspects of Hajj is tawafu ziyarah. After that you proceed to Baytullah and you perform the tawafu ziyarah. Now, between the tawafu ziyarah and the removing of the hair, between these two acts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيُوفُوا نُدُورَهُمْ, and they must fulfill their vow. Now, what does this, what's the relevance of this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of the sequence of the acts that must be performed on the 10th of the Hijjah. that the Haji does is the busiest day in the life of the Haji, the 10th of the Hijjah. He has all these acts and all these rites and rituals of Hajj that he must fulfill. But right in the center, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the importance of fulfilling vows. Now, what is a vow? What is a promise that you make to somebody that you are going to do something or you will not do something? In Arabic, that is called yameen. Yameen, and the plural is ayman. Then you have something which is called a nadhar, and the plural of which is nudur. And that's what Allah is speaking about here. These are vows. What is a vow? A vow is where you promise to Allah that you will carry out something that is voluntary. So you make something voluntary, obligatory upon yourself if Allah allows you to experience something. So you take a vow of Allah, if you allow me to remain safe, and you allow me to remain protected against the virus that has infected so many, and that so many has contracted, oh Allah, I make a vow to you that if you keep me healthy and safe and allow me to remain safeguarded against this virus, then on such and such a date, for once things have been restored to normality, I will observe 3 fasts for you. That is a vow. That is another. Or it applies to anything. Oh Allah, if you allow me to enjoy success in this project, oh Allah, if you allow me to accomplish this task, then I will perform this voluntary deed for you. I take a vow to you. This is a very effective way to earn the help and the assistance of Allah. I will give such and such an amount in sadaqah or in charity. Now that's a voluntary act, but you have made it obligatory upon yourself. That is known as a nadhar in Arabic, and that is a vow. It must be a voluntary act. You cannot say, oh Allah, if you allow me to accomplish something, I will start praying my 5 daily salah in jama'ah. No, it doesn't work. You are supposed to be doing that as it is. So it only applies to a voluntary act. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now Allah speaks of that, the fulfilling of vow, while teaching us the rites and rituals of Hajj. Mufassirin explained it is to draw our attention to the importance of fulfilling those vows. Because Allah is speaking of something great here. Allah is speaking of something very, very, very important regarding the rites and rituals of Hajj. And amongst that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the importance of fulfilling vows to tell us how important it is. Just as important it is for you to sacrifice the animal, to remove your hair, and to perform the tawaf, as important and as obligatory those acts are, as important as that is fulfilling the vow. Now Allah ta'ala allows you to enjoy what it is that you have enjoyed. Now, just as important as it is for you to fulfill the rites and rituals of Hajj, it is now important for you to fulfill the vows. That is one interpretation. The other interpretation is that generally, a person makes such vows when he brings a transformation in his life. And one of the greatest sources of transformation in one's life is Hajj. Now, when you go for Hajj and you bring about a transformation in life, then you start making promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or sometimes in Ramadan, you find, because Ramadan is a source of bringing about transformation in one's life, then you find during Ramadan, people make these type of vows with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain pledges and certain promises with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah speaks of this aspect of taking vows during the fulfilling of the rites of Hajj. So Allah says, وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ. They must fulfill the vows that they have made. وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. And they must perform tawaf around al-bayt al-atiq. One of the names of the Kaaba, or the attributes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to describe the Kaaba, is atiq. What does atiq mean? Atiq means the one that has been liberated. They must make tawaf around the liberated house. That is Al-Kaaba. Liberated from what? We have learned above that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he purified it. Whatever idols were there, whatever shirk was taking place, he had purified the Kaaba from that. That's a form of liberation. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came as the conqueror of Makkah al-Mukarramah, one of the first things that he had done is he had destroyed 365 idols that were found in and around the vicinity of the Kaaba. And that is a form of liberation, liberating the Kaaba. And that is why the Kaaba is also known as Al-Bayt Al-Atiq, the liberated house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلك, that is what needs to be done. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the one who will venerate, the one who will honor, the one who will sanctify, the one who will respect the hurumat of Allah, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as sacred. And there are so many things which Allah has declared as sacred. We are now going through the sacred months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as holy and sacred. And it is our duty to venerate, to honor, and to respect these months. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever will show veneration and who will respect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as sanctified, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. This is good for him in the presence of his Rabb. This is the best thing that he can do before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are showing respect to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown respect to, and you are sanctifying what Allah azza wa jal has declared as sacred. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding.